Bibles and remain standing and turn to the book of Ezekiel chapter 47, and we will read five scriptures, have prayer, and trust God to help us this morning. Ezekiel chapter 47. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. Verse 3. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters, and they were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we feel the very expression of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, blessed are the poor. And we feel so small and so little and so insignificant this morning, so very needy before Almighty God. But we are so happy that we know that our God and his Son and the Holy Spirit are above, for above everything else. Amen. And you take the weakness of man, and you are able to give strength. Yes. You are able to give anointing. You're able to give us the exact right thoughts that would be beneficial to this audience of precious souls. And so as we humble ourselves before thee, we will return and give you all the thanks and all the praise. If you'll grant unto us an anointing, and grant unto us a strength, and grant unto us a wisdom, that we might say something that would be beneficial to souls this day, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The setting of this scripture goes back about 600 years before the birth of Christ. It was very difficult times in history. And because we live in 2016, we identify with the difficult times of our times. But these were difficult times for the children of Israel. Yet God gave Ezekiel a vision of the gospel day. And we are so very happy that we in this audience this morning have had the privilege of knowing about the living water. We know in the gospel day the source of the living water. And we realize that God has been very good to every one of us. And we realize on a very personal basis how God has chosen through his Son and through the Holy Spirit of God and the Father to bring a line to us for us to measure to. Thank you, Lord. And I'm not going to turn to every text this morning, but you are welcome to write it down if you would please to do so. And all of you young alert minds, enjoy the season of being able to remember things. enjoy it. And we won't go there until the day that I realized I didn't have a memory anymore. But for you young minds, go ahead and memorize. For you that are not as sharp mentally in that thought, you might want to put a marker in your Bible. But in the Psalms chapter 19, and you can turn over there if you would like to. And my wife isn't here to help me, so I would appreciate the help of Brother Goebbels and everyone in the audience and God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit of God this morning. But in Psalms chapter 19, you see where there is a man with a line in his hand. And he is described in this 19th Psalm as the bridegroom. And I would very much like to preach exactly what God would have me to preach this morning, because I naturally have a burden for souls, or I wouldn't be right with God. But when it comes to the thought of a bridegroom, I want to very briefly bring one thought to this fine group of young people. I ask your leader that led the young people's choir. He's somewhere in this audience. He knows where he is probably. I asked him how many were there. I asked one or two others. And I think there were about 50 people singing the other night in the young people's choir. Thank God. And we are very thankful for that. And precious young people this morning, it is my privilege to tell you that there is one that really cares for you. Amen. And he will come and has come many times to you with a line in his hand. And it is an awesome thing, all of you precious young sisters that are here. If you are saved, we are very glad that you are saved. And I won't take time to go over to Proverbs chapter 31, beginning with verse 10. But I challenge you as young sisters, and I challenge the older sisters, and I challenge us brothers, amen, to have a great appreciation, amen, for young ladies of virtue, amen, and who can find a virtuous woman, amen. And let me tell you, there is a definite line that is drawn that brings virtue into the lives of ladies, and in the masculine, it's valor. There is a definite line drawn, amen, that brings valor into the lives, amen, of young men, amen. And then as men age, it brings definite valor into our lives. Let me tell you this morning, amen, the price of a virtuous woman is far above rubies. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Young men, in a world that is all upside down, let me help you this morning. Let God himself, through his son Jesus Christ, amen, take that line and draw out 1,000 cubits. And if my memory is right, that is about 2/3 of a mile, amen, into the water. Amen. And you'll find yourself in water to the ankle. Amen. We might talk about that, amen, as getting under conviction. Conviction is a wonderful thing. I remember those days of conviction. I remember those nights, amen, of no rest. I remember, as so was very well preached in this meeting, amen, the time of being a prodigal. And I'm glad that prodigals can get home. If you are a backslider this morning, amen, prodigals can come home. I'm not sure how much of my message I'll get, but I'll give you a little bit here and a little bit there. You know, amen, the prophet Isaiah said it's going to be line upon line. It's going to be precept upon precept. It's going to be here a little, and it's going to be there a little. So sometimes as a preacher, I do jump around, not very much in the flesh because I don't have much strength. But scripturally, amen, we can go from Genesis through Revelations, amen, to bring our point. But let me help you. Amen. When he draws that line, you are blessed, amen, to come to that line. Amen. Perhaps it was sung in this meeting, for I am not ashamed. Amen. Not ashamed to be modest. Not ashamed to have a clean mind. Not ashamed to keep, amen, a clean record. Not ashamed to live holy in an unholy world. Not ashamed to live justly in an unjust world. Amen. Because there is a man that is known as a bridegroom. Amen. That takes the line and he measures first 1,000 cubits. Amen. And he brings us, and you will notice, dear ones, he brings us through the water. He don't just bring us to the water. He brings us through the water. And the water is the Word of God. Amen. It cleans up our life. I love to preach. And I've been preaching about this at home for however long. Amen. And one Sunday morning, I wondered if I had the right message. And God led me over to the book of Matthew, I believe it is. And some of you can help me if I say the wrong text. Where God dealt with Zacchaeus. Amen. And there was a couple came into our audience, and hopefully they will be in Brother and Sister Clemstein's congregation. Amen. And they were in their 60s, lost and without God. I'm glad that God still draws line for young people. Amen. If you're in this audience, amen, and you're not young, God will draw a line and he wants you to get saved. Amen. And then not just splash around in ankle deep water. He wants you to go forward. Amen. He wants you to go forward for God. Yes. And he, amen, has left us the instructions, amen, how that we might go forward. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalms chapter 19. I didn't think that I would turn back there, but in my notes I have something, and let's see if I can pick it up. Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. Oh, yes, the effect of the Holy Spirit of God. The desired effect, Psalms 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Amen. You want, amen, that which is right in your life? It takes the Word of God. And the Bible says that the law, and you know, many times we have identified in our dispensation that the law is just referring to the Ten Commandments. Let me help you. The law is the Word of God. And the thought of it being the law is a specific thought. And that thought is this, that it always points forward. The Word of God always points forward. Good. You might be, and somebody brought the thought, and it'll always stay with me, being stagnant. You might be in this audience this morning, and you might feel like, you know, I've kind of plateaued. You might feel like, you know, I'm not really aggressively serving God. You might be in this audience, amen, and perhaps you were convicted last night, amen, with the thought of a soul burden, and perhaps you got stirred, and that is excellent, but it is vital that you keep that stirring, because let me help you, amen, the Word of God is designed to always point us forward. You go on a little bit further, amen, and it says, speaks of the testimony of the Lord, and let's pick that up there, Psalms 19, the testimony of the Lord is sure. What God has promised works, and he will perform. I was preaching at home maybe Wednesday night, maybe a week ago, whenever it was. Amen. In doing my very best to encourage, and I want to leave that thought with you. It is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, where God moved upon the prophet, and he said, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared, amen, for them that wait for him." And then he went over in the New Testament, and Paul picked it up and said, "For those that love him." Dear ones, listen this morning. If we, amen, will let God draw the line, amen. And you and I, amen, say, "I will measure." Praise Amen. And when you get under conviction to get saved and begin to confess and repent and turn from your sin, that is the measuring. You follow that.
Amen.
Amen. And I know every Church of God congregation does the same. They might not do it exactly like we do it at Paradise. Amen. But the very first thing that we begin to teach is how to have devotions, how to read, how to pray. Amen. And it takes effort to learn how to study the Bible. Amen. And we're all vitally in need of knowing how to study the Bible. Amen. So that we can get food for our soul. So we go on. Amen. And he says the statutes. And those are the things that describe how God wants us to conduct ourselves. And you know, we're living in a day when, and I'm not talking about Church of God people, and may it never be named among us, but we're living in a day when the world has forgotten manners.
Yes.
We live in the country, and it's scary for me to be driving in a city.
Sure it is.
It is, bro.
Maybe it's scary if you live here, I don't know, but but even in the country, other than people that know you, if you try to open a door for a lady, she's like, yeah, are you after? No, I'm not after you. I'm just trying to be a gentleman. And some of them will look at you and say, I don't want no gentleman. It's vital, young men, to know how to treat a young lady. And this word of God gives direction. It's vital, young ladies, amen, to know, amen, your place. Amen. And how to be a young lady. And we won't go there any longer. You got fine teachers to teach that. The commandments. Amen. And see, dear ones, this is not bondage. The commandments teach you what to do.
Thank God for it.
Amen. And the commandments teach you what not to do. There's some things that if you do, amen, you'll be so blessed. Amen. If you learn how to praise God, if you break the yoke of being self-conscious and so afraid that you won't say it just right. Psalms 19 tells us, amen, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean. Isn't that wonderful that the fear of the Lord is clean? The judgment of the Lord, it says there. And see, many times people get so yancy, amen, when the thought is brought out of any judgment message. But let me help you. Amen. The design of the judgment message is to give a verdict of what is right. And I'm not here to blast, amen, anybody, and I don't know anybody that's here, so I'm not going to be blasting away at anybody, but amen, the thought would be that if somebody come in and had never, amen, been taught holiness, amen, and we're preaching away about you getting saved, and you get, amen, after you get saved, you quit the sin business. Do you follow me?
Amen.
Amen. Well, people have been taught that you can't live above sin. Immediately they come to the thought of you can't judge.
Yeah, right.
Now let me explain that. Amen. If you're living in sin, amen, you can't put judgment on sin. But if you've gotten saved and measured to the Word of God, amen, you can put judgment on sin.
Right.
See, that's true judgment. It gives a verdict. Praise the Lord forevermore. Okay, let's go on a little bit further here. I need to keep moving because I need to keep moving. Amen. We are taught that this man with this line in his hand, amen, brings conviction to sinners. We think of the times in the Scripture, and I just remember too, as I worked on this message since I've been here, the prodigal son, how he came to himself. Isn't it wonderful when we come to ourself and we realize God's got deeper water for me? Amen. And when individuals come to that place, and let me help you here, we come to that place when we're in sin and we realize there's something lacking in my life. Amen. And he draws a line. Amen. And he brings us through the waters to Bible salvation. And I so well remember getting saved. And I'm not going to stay on memory lane very long, but after I got saved, my father came to Carmichael and preached a revival. And that is a lot of history, a long ways back for a lot of you in this audience, but that was 1965. And I was baptized by Brother McConaughey. They called it a river, but it seemed like a slough to me. However that is how it is, and please don't be offended, Californians. Back to my message. Amen. But after I got saved, amen, and got baptized, I still realized there it was two things going on inside. There was a lack and there was a battle. And that carnal nature. And young people, I'm so glad you're here. I wish one of the better preachers were preaching this morning, but come back tonight and they will. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you from the depths of my heart. Amen. When you're young and the world looks like it's got so much to offer, and it looks like you're giving up so much to take a cross. Wow. And it looks like the world is offering big money and popularity and whatever your personal fleshly desires would be. And it looks like you're in line for it all. Let me help you. There's one that is known in the scripture, amen, as Jesus Christ. Amen. And he draws a line and says this: if you will give your all, and I won't turn to those scriptures, but Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Holy. And then acceptable. And you know what that means? Amen. Those cobwebs in your mind, you let the word of God wash away. You know, sometimes after people get saved, the devil wants them to kind of have the thought, well, just in case, no. Yeah, right. There's no thought of going back. Amen. Amen. Acceptable unto God. And the scripture tells us that is a reasonable service. And then he draws that line. Isn't this right? He said, and be not conformed to this world. And young people, I know I'm preaching to you, but that goes for every one of us here. Sure. Amen. As old as I am, and as weak as I am, amen, and all the other things that I am, amen, that the enemy would try to play upon, sure, it's hard to believe that then he'd come along and say, wouldn't it be nice to be worldly? Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, young people, us old people, amen, the world will try to creep in, sure, but God will draw a line. Amen. And will, he can run, I can't. He'll draw a line and say, you get to the line. Amen. And we say, I'll go to the line. Amen. All that the world has to offer. And then let us go on a little bit further. Amen. Hebrews is at 12:1 that says, let us lay aside every weight. Amen. You don't swim packing weights. That's right. I can't swim, so I'm preaching past what I know here, but I do know this. Amen. I love to fish. And you know, ankle water is wonderful. Knee water is wonderful. But you let it start coming up about the waist. And you can't swim. And you got heavy shoes on of some kind. And you got clothes on. And pretty soon it gets pretty heavy. And you begin looking around. Now, what kind of a hole do I want to step into next? And I crick fish a little bit. You don't go on to get in one over your head. Do you follow me? Right. Amen. Because if you do, amen, all weighted down, you will sink. Uh-huh. Lay aside the weights. Amen. You worried about your future? Put it in the hands of one, right, that knows how to deal with it right. Amen. If you got saved, and let me preach on this a little bit. When you get saved, God takes care of your past. Have you let God take care of your past? Let me tell you a little bit about it. Amen. We all have a past, and I'm very ashamed of my past. But thank God, amen, nobody can find my past. Let me help you to understand that. 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 Amen. The first thing, amen, our sins is cast as far as the east is from the west. And I don't know which direction is east or west here. Amen. And that's wonderful. Amen, but it goes deeper than that. Amen. The prophet Jeremiah was inspired by God. Amen. And God told him, he said, I will bury their sins. Amen. In the depth of the ocean. Never. That's a long way down. Troubled with your past? That's a trick of the devil. And let me help you. Let God draw the line and say, no more of this. Troubled with your failures? No more of this. Amen. I'm going to, amen, head for that deeper water. And we're headed there, not as fast as we can go, but we're headed there. Let me see if I can find my place. Amen. The drawing from God, that hunger God created in us. You know, it's a marvelous thing, as wasn't it David said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't it wonderful that God made us with a hunger for God? And you know, a lot of times people look at ministers and when they openly say, and I tell my congregation, I hunger for God, pray for me. I hunger for more of God, pray for me. Amen. Let me help you to understand. One of the greatest things that you and I were gifted with, amen, is that from God, that we hunger for more of God. We desire more of His presence in our life. We desire more of His attributes in our life. We desire, amen, all of our fleshly thoughts and motives and intents to be crucified with Christ. He made us. Amen. Creatures of desire. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. There's a part of you and me that really hungers for God. Amen. Isn't that wonderful to have a hunger for God? Amen. Many in this audience can remember precious Sister Davis. Amen. That is in the portals of glory this morning. And she wrote a song, and I think it was in childhood. I have a longing in my heart for Jesus. Sister Davis lived to be probably about 75, maybe 80 years old. Amen. The last time I met her, last time I visited with her, amen, that hunger, it hadn't ended. She was still saying, more of God, more of God, more of God. God created us with a desire. So with that desire, the man comes with the line in his hand. And he said, I'm going to draw a line for you. You cry out, God, help me to come to the line. He draws that line, and then we step into the water. Let's just say we get into water to the waist, okay? I want to talk to you about water. And there's a lot I don't know about water, but there's a few things I do know about water. Amen. It's a cleanser. The washing of the water by the word. Amen. And after we get saved, amen, a washing begins to take place. Amen. And He draws a line. And I want to tell you, God knows how to draw a good line. Sure. Amen. And He said, this is what I want you to do. And let me help you to understand God. Amen. God is not a taskmaster in the thought of being hard, amen, to deal with if we will be obedient. One of the Old Testament scriptures prophesies of Jesus, amen, that He is as a governor. That's the word I'm looking for, brother. He is as a governor, but listen to this part. He is as a governor with the heart of a shepherd. And you know how a shepherd is with the sheep. Oh, those little baby lambs. Amen. How those people that raise those baby lambs. And you know, they're just little things about that big when they are born. Amen. And how that shepherd just gently gets it to the mother and gets it nursing and gets it taken care of. And then how the shepherd, amen. I think a mother sheep is called a ewe. Do you think that?
Yep.
And it's not spelled Y-O-U. It's spelled a different way. And it's not just you. But for us, it could be. He takes that dear mother ewe. And he just takes such good care of her. He just makes sure that she gets her share of the food. And you might say, well, what if there's something where the mother gets separated or dies? I love to visit sheep ranches. Amen. And you'll see that all these little lambs are with the ewes. Amen. And they're being such cared for, the shepherd and all. But then you look over there and there's a place where they're what they call bum lambs. But I'm glad I'm in a family where there's no bum lambs.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Every one of God's children, amen, are loved not only by God and not only by the Son and not only by the Holy Spirit, but they're loved by the family of God, which is a mother. Isn't that wonderful? So, praise God forevermore. Let's go back here and find a spot where we ought to be. And again, he measures. And I want to bring this thought. The way God is you can't get to waters to swim in until you get to waters to the ankle,
right,
to the knee.
Right.
Got to keep going deeper.
Right.
It's pretty interesting, and I won't try to find it in Ezekiel, but it's there, Ezekiel 47. He said, again he measured. And then he said, again he measured. And I think he said it two or three times, again he measured. And then he said, afterward. Afterward, after you and I have measured, after you and I have said, I will follow thee, he leads us to a place, amen, where there are waters to swim in. Amen. He leads us to waters, amen, past this thought of, am I going to make it? Past this thought of, oh, I've always got to be able to touch ground and feel like I'm in control. The most wonderful thing that can ever happen to a man, woman, boy, or girl, amen, is to reach that place and say, God, amen, you're leading me to waters where I'm not in control anymore. God always knows what is best. God always knows what is best. He makes no mistakes. Amen. Never makes a mistake. Praise the Lord forevermore. And he brings us to the knees. We got there. Let's see if we can find out. He measured again, waters to the thigh. The Holy Spirit of God brings a seriousness in our soul about being saved. There's nothing sadder than burying a backslider. We're not going to go there with personal testimony. Nothing sadder. Nothing sadder. But there is a wonderful thing about coming to that place where we say, God, you've drawn the line where I lose control and you take control. Then he leads us to a river beyond our expectation. A river that is deep, no shortage.
Praise God.
It is, and you can see this in Ezekiel, it is a river of life.
Amen.
And it is a river of healing.
Praise God.
A river of healing. It is a wonderful thing that, as Brother Richard has so well told us and emphasized, amen, coming from a lifestyle of being religious but being dead.
Sure.
But think this morning of the vast difference. It's a river of life and a river of healing. And you know, dear ones, this morning in our audience, many times people enjoy not being healed because they feel like they have an excuse. But in the water to swim in, there is healing for our past. There's healing for our hang-ups. And I don't think Brother Dukes and all the rest of this audience will mind me saying, you know, every once in a while somebody comes to me with this thought of, would I be wrong in whatever because of prejudice, because of colors, and because of this thing? And I said, don't talk to me. I said, I'm not prejudiced, and besides that, I'm married to a Mexican. You follow the thought? But there's some people that, you know, I don't know if there's any here this morning, but where we live, there's how many ever Native Americans? And the Native Americans walk around with a chip on their shoulder, you know. And they think that you owe them everything that they want. A house without work, amen, and all the things that go with it. You follow that? Amen. But they can be healed. We can be healed in our mind of hang-ups. See, this audience would believe that my last name is Kelly. And that is the name that I was given at birth. But who knows what our last name is? Our family left West Virginia running from the law, and rightfully so. Yes. I don't know if we're Jacobsons or Johnsons, or I don't know who we are. One of my cousins came to see me and he said, I'm sure we're not from Ireland. He thinks we're Scotch. This I know, we were all sinners. Do you follow that? Hang-ups. You might be in this audience and you might say, you know, I'm one of those persons that when I'm given a choice, I always make the wrong one. And let me tell you, God wants you to get unhooked from that.
Praise God. Praise God.
You say, well, I've made so many mistakes. Okay, let's get out into the deep water.
All right.
Instead of you running ahead with God, why don't you try swimming a while?
Right. Yes, sir,
amen. Why don't you get loose from the thought of, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to be healed of this condition. Praise his name forevermore. Glory to God. It is a river of life. A river of healing. And I thought Brother Goebbels was going to preach this morning when he went to Psalms 46 for me. I thought, boy, this is going to work out good. He read it, God is a refuge. There is a river that is a refuge. Amen. There's a place for you and I to run and hide. Isn't that wonderful? There is a place of refreshing.
Yeah, amen.
There is a fresh anointing.
Yes, sir.
There is a place of wisdom.
Amen.
There is a place of strength.
Amen.
There is a place of courage.
Yeah.
There is a place of Holy Ghost anointing.
Amen.
There is a river.
Amen.
And in this river, there is a present help in every time of need. I won't go into this very much, but I went to where Brother McConaughey and I used to walk. And there's a sign up, and it says basically, people drowned in the river, wear your life jacket. I want to tell you, there's no drowning in this river of life. Amen. The more you get out there, the better it is. You can just go here and go there and go here and go there and be refreshed 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 and be refreshed. This world will leave you exhausted. This world will leave you so tired you can't pay attention. Amen. That you get into that river. Yes, praise his name. And then he dealt with the thought of devastating conditions. And they're everywhere. You say, I suppose everything is calm in Montana. No. The devil is the same everywhere. If we could go to the furthest point north, amen, you would see devastating conditions, even if there was only one soul there unsaved. That's how it is. But the Bible tells us, and you know, us Americans especially, and I'm preaching past what I know because I'm not much on knowing what's going on in the world. I try to take care of my little business in Montana, but and that keeps me awful busy, so you can tell I am slow at getting things done. Back to my message. Us Americans, that we know quite a bit that's going on, or a lot of people know quite a bit that's going on in America, and it's shaking times.
Sure.
Shaking times. Any of you that are aged, if you read any one that's telling about the money of tomorrow, they'll tell you Social Security is broken. You probably won't get another check. I'm not going to tell you how it's going to be. I'm going to tell you what I'm swimming in. God's going to take care of us. You follow that?
Amen.
Amen. Our dollar's going to shrink. I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen to the dollar. This I know. God is going to take care of us. Though the mountains shake.
Sure.
Amen. Though it seems like there's earthquakes over here. Though it seems like there's trouble over here. Yet the psalmist said, I will not fear. And that was sung so well this morning.
Amen.
Let me read on. There is a river. There is a place where you can be thrilled and happy, where you can have utmost confidence. He will not fail me now. I have not read that hymn story, that song, but let me tell you the hymn story of my wife and I's song. Amen. The same journey as everyone in this audience. Amen. We got married in 1971. And life in Montana is probably like life everywhere else. It was really tough. We loved each other, but it was tough. And unfortunately, but true, I've been sick way too much of my life. In my eyes, way too much of my life. God has never failed us. God has never failed us. There were times that it looked like we were going to lose everything. Even to the extent, and this is in olden days, when bankers called you and said, you better come in and have a talk with me. Those are scary times. You know the banker. And he called and said, you better come in and have a talk with me. Let's see if I can help you. One more loan. One more high interest rate. When Karen and I were borrowing money, it wasn't none of that 6% stuff. 20%. 20%. Yeah. Tough times. God didn't fail us. God didn't fail us. God didn't fail us. When everything's shaking around you and you can't sleep at night, God didn't fail us. I love this family back here with four girls, and we weren't blessed to have four. We only had two, so now we have two son-in-laws. I wish we had four girls and four son-in-laws and four sons and four daughter-in-laws, but it didn't work out that way. But let me help you to understand. Enjoy having them on that bench, brother and sister. It's a wonderful season. I think the last name is Rains, because one of these days, and I hope they all go to school and the next 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 school and graduate with their master's, amen, from right here in Carmichael and come home and go to bed every night at home. We weren't privileged that way. We live 75 miles out in the country. We do have running water. My wife built a fire in the wood stove this morning to warm up the house. It's winter already, and kind of winter already in Montana. We will begin packing wood in and ashes out, but on with the message. One day, that oldest daughter by the name of Kathy graduated from high school. And before she graduated, the CEO of the hospital saw me and he said, could I have breakfast with you? Sure. He said, I just want to talk to you a little bit. He said, you know, that little Salish Kootenai College is going to put in a nursing program, and your daughter works at our hospital, and she wants to be a nurse, and you know, she could go up there. And boy, I want to tell you, I couldn't wait for her to come home from school that night. And I said, oh, Kathy, I got the best news. Mike Billings told me they're going to put a nursing program over here at Salish Kootenai, and you'd be able to go to school there and drive back and forth back home every night. One of the saddest things I ever heard in my life was she said, Daddy, I'm tired of little schools. I want to go to the university. And and what was bad when I would wake up in the middle of the night. Sleep has not been one of my common denominators. And I would think of that little girl from the country in the evil city. I would break out with sweat. God didn't fail. God did not fail. Enjoy the season, brother and sister Reigns. Enjoy the season, brother and sister Altman. All of you with little children, enjoy it. I know your pastor has preached it, but let me back it up. Be good moms. Be good dads. Save those toys that you are thinking about buying. And I don't know what toys you would buy in California, but in Montana, you know, it's four-wheelers, ATVs, I think they call them, and all sorts of toys. Amen. They can come after the children are grown. Don't do too much of this stuff. Enjoy the children. Amen. Teach your sons and daughters how to talk. I wish I had the courage every time I go into a public place and see our mom and dad with a precious little one sitting over there, and they're doing like this, and the poor little kid is eating their French fry all by himself. Oh, God help us. Go on with the message, please, Brother Kelly. Yes, I must hasten. What a sad condition. What a sad condition. May God help us as a church of the living God to raise up a standard out in the deep water. The Bible teaches us to love our children. We got to preach on and come to a close. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Let me help you. Things will shake again. Things will go into an avalanche again. Heartache will sweep again. Difficulty will come to all of us. But remember, the line is drawn. Praise God. Say, you know, I'm not going to get all upset. I'm going to swim.
Praise
God's going to see me through again. God's going to take care of us again. So let me see, I always try to make a closing. Cleo, she tried to teach me how to preach, and you don't know who that is, and I'm not going to take time to explain it to you, but Cleo tried to teach me how to preach, and she said it's important to have a good beginning and a good ending and not too much in the middle. So let's hope that I have a decent ending here. In the book of Revelations, I'll tell you one more thing about Cleo. She used to come to funerals. They stayed with the movement and didn't leave the movement. But Cleo loved me. She was my Sunday school teacher as a boy. She used to come to funerals and sit, I think, on the second pew. And after the funeral, she'd say to me, "I didn't hear one thing you said." She said, "I was praying for you." You know, dear ones, listen. Revelations 22:1 says, "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and from the throne of the Lamb." And now let us go to verse 14. "Blessed are they that do his commandments." Whatever God has drawn out for you, do it. It says they're blessed. I don't have time to go preach on that. The cooks are ready for us. You're blessed. 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 "That they may have right to the tree of life," to Jesus.
Amen.
"And may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs." The saddest thing in this world is to be without the gate.
Yeah.
It is afternoon in Carmichael, California. There is a river. The water begins in eternity. It flows down to where you and I are. I remember 1965. I think Brother and Sister Corneliuson back there were there. I think Sister Edith and Brother Gene were there. Brother McConaughey was there. And I remember conviction getting a hold of my heart.
Praise God.
I shook and trembled. Oh, you say, the world wouldn't offer much in Montana. But it was all I knew. But I realized I needed to be saved. I want to bring this one thought in closing. I wish I could remember who told me. But in those days of those old camp meetings, somebody told me about going out to pray. And they'd try to find a tree, and they'd look, and there was somebody already praying behind the tree. They did it for me. I owe a great debt to those that are gone, to help those that are here. And he measured out 1,000 cubits. My buddy and I, George Stagmar, you've probably heard the last name. His brother's Elroy David Stagmar. George and I were buds for life, we thought. But I chose Jesus. I have no regrets. Many times, he's measured out again. We'll obey. And you know what? He's not done measuring. We're at that particular season where we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And as he measures, may we follow. Thank you for your prayers and kind attention.